They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. And we're coming to you from Radio Fairfax in the heart of the Mosaic District in Fairfax County, Virginia. But today we're going all the way down to North Carolina to talk to Ole Madsen. Ole is the president, the executive director, and he wears all the hats for an organization called HERE for North Carolina. And we're going to find out what they do and what HERE stands for. So, Ole, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Tell us a little bit about HERE for North Carolina.
Well, HERE stands for Homeowners for Education, Advocacy, and Rights. And we formed a year and a half ago. We were going to our local HOA here and just found that these people didn't know the rules, they didn't know the laws, they didn't all the basic complaints. And so we said there had to be a different way. You can't deal with them because they're just... they've just got their mind made up, and they had their power structure and so forth. So what I did is I went up to the, I had read about a hearing in Raleigh, which is the capital of North Carolina, and we went up to the legislature, and we sat in on several meetings, actually all of them, 2 years' worth of meetings, and met all the people. We went into the hearing room, and, of course, we found out that, we found out all the good guys sit on one side and the bad guys sit on the other side. So
it's almost like wearing black and white, right?
Yeah, it's just the people didn't know they sat in between, and then next time they moved up to the left to the right. So we sat on the right, just happened to work out that way. And then I like to listen to people, but I also like to meet people. And you can sit on the emails all your life, and you really can only learn so much. So meeting the actual people that are involved in this was really good, and met some great people, and had some good friends, and, we have some people that we know who the enemy is. So we learned that. There's a lot of laws that we didn't know about, so we learned them, and then we basically made up our mind. I have several board members. They're all advisory board members. And we decided that the only way we can get anywhere and be recognized is to make some legislation. And we couldn't do it all at once because it's a very complicated subject, as you know. And so we started out with one bill and split it in two and proceeded from there and got some sponsors, Well, I didn't know it was about Republicans and Democrats, but things changed here recently, and so we actually got 12 sponsors right away, and five of them were Republicans, and actually seven were Democrats. So we were right in the middle, which is, we didn't plan it that way. It worked out that way, so it appeals to a lot of different people. So that was a good thing.
So
that's how it started.
By sponsors, you mean you got... legislators to sponsor your bill.
Correct. It's that's how it works. We started in the House. There's a House, and then there's a basically that's where most of the bills originate. The Senate is a little bit more complicated, or it's in there are few people there, so it has to go from the House to the Senate and so forth. We start in the House, and that's where it still is. It's a two-year process.
All right. Tell me what you plan on doing, what your ultimate goal is. You say you started with a bill, you split it in half.
Yep.
But here for North Carolina stands for education,
correct,
advocacy,
correct,
and rights.
Correct.
So within those three groups, you have a whole slew of stuff that you can throw into any one of those.
Yeah, what we learned is that what we did is we had some small meetings, and then basically they grew. And what we learned is that people just wanted to know something. They wanted to meet an attorney. They didn't know what they wanted to do. And so what we did is we just analyzed the law, which is 47F, which is called the Planned Community Act. And there's a similar act in every state. They're not all the same, but they're pretty much the same. And it's an old law from, I think they started passing them in, like 15 years ago. So it says people don't even understand what an association is. So what we did is we made a series of PowerPoint presentations, and what we did is actually quoted the law. We didn't make it up. We didn't give our opinion. We would take questions, and people started coming, and we're still doing that. We're doing it once a month, and we're in the Brunswick, North Carolina, which is right on the South Carolina line, and then Wilmington, and we're going to Raleigh, which of course is the capital, and then we'd like to, you know, go further.
And you say you want to go further. Now, when I talked to you the other day, you've been holding these meetings.
Yes.
What, once a month?
Yes.
And you tend to move around. You go from one town to another.
Yep. This is our base, so then we move to Wilmington, which is maybe the fourth largest town in North Carolina, then up to New Bern, which is a small town similar to this. And we had to learn what times they wanted to come. We had what kind of questions. We didn't know. So we had to learn. You know, you think you know it, but then you have to listen to the people, which is what it's all about. That's what most people don't do. And, you know, we've pretty much figured out what the problem is with HOAs. It's all the same.
What is the problem with HOAs, Ollie?
The problem is that it's really, they're all designated to run by the people. And that sounds like it's really a true democracy. And nobody understands that. They think it's a representative government. You hire somebody, or you vote somebody in, and they do everything and tell you what to do. It's absolutely 100% wrong. What people do is an association is made out of members. It's not a corporation. This thing gets twisted because what happens, there is so much money involved. There's millions and millions of dollars. And so the managing agents and the attorneys and accountants, they all find this people that are sort of don't understand and don't know. So they tell them what to do, and people sit there and listen to them and think they're right because they're told what to do. They don't know their bylaws. They don't know their declarations. They don't know any laws. And the attorneys don't really help them much because they basically have their own agenda, which is to make money. And that's the real problem. They don't know how. Our first PowerPoint was, this is how an association works. And people are going, oh, really? And I said, here's the law. Just read it. We didn't make it up. It's right here. It's go to the internet. Go buy a book. It's there. And they were just astounded. And then we started analyzing the law, and of course we have a disclaimer that we're not lawyers, we can't practice law, but we can explain law, and it's there, and you can read it yourself. So we told them where to go. And it was amazing. People just didn't know. And they kept asking questions and questions. They just didn't know. I call it a thirst for knowledge.
Now, when a government enacts legislation, enacts laws, because the government enacts laws.
Correct.
An HOA cannot. There are no laws in HOAs.
There are laws governing HOAs, yeah.
There are no laws in an HOA.
Well, you can make bylaws, which
okay,
is not...
Okay, but that's not a law. There's a difference.
Well, it tells you how the association works and what it can do, and actually...
A bylaw is something that any organization has. It tells
correct.
You how you're going to run that organization.
Correct.
It is correct. Not the law.
Well, there are certain things in there, how you run it, which you can call it. It's called a bylaw, so the word bylaw is there.
It's a bylaw, but in fact, the laws of the land are not written in somebody's document that tells them how they're going to run the organization. The laws...
Right, but I see where you're going, but I think it's really the reverse. And what happens is, this is what... People don't understand this. This is... Everybody thinks the laws start from the top and go down to the bottom. Well, some do, but in an association, they actually start at the bottom and go up.
Okay. But you're going to the legislators and you're asking them to enact legislation, right?
Right.
And that is going to become the law of the state.
Correct.
That would regulate HOAs.
Right. But what we're really asking them to do, it's Bill HB 883, is basically, if you're elected as a board of director, which I don't like the word, the really correct word in the Planned Community Act is executive director. And board of director has a bad connotation, that you're in charge of something. And these people are executives. They're agents, just like a real estate agent works for somebody. They can do certain things that the members allow them to do, which is in their bylaws. And what happens is the directors, they don't know. They don't know anything. They don't know the laws. They don't know the bylaws. Most of them haven't read the documents. They know very little. And then they sit there and make it up as they go, according to how they feel. And so if you know something, you're in trouble. So what I did is that we said, you're going to have to take the board. The law actually says it has to take, after 60 days of being elected, you have to take 4 hours of education on 47F or C, which goes for condos in this state.
Okay, now that is actual state statute.
No, this is proposed state statute.
Okay, no, but
47F is the statute. It's a law.
Okay, it is.
It's in 1999.
Okay, what I'm trying to establish here is that there is a difference, that there's the law that is enacted by the state.
Right.
And then you've got bylaws that each individual association can amend.
Correct.
So they're not the law. And the point that I'm trying to make, Ollie, is that there is a difference. That the law is the law. It's enacted by the state.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So when the state enacts
several laws.
Okay.
So you can get a bigger discussion going.
When the state enacts legislation,
yep.
When they decide what's legal and illegal,
correct.
They generally have some kind of police power to enforce the laws that they enact.
They don't in the state.
Traffic violations, do they enact those?
No, what I'm saying is...
No, forget HOAs. We're looking at laws in general.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so when the legislator, when the state enacts legislation...
Right.
They tend to enact them. They tend to enforce them, right? Make sure that
correct.
You're not doing something that you're not supposed to be doing.
Correct.
When they enact legislation regulating associations, nobody, no state does that. It's left to people like you and me and other people out there to go out and do the training, the educating, and all of that. Are you following me so far?
Yeah, well, the you know, in this state, and I guess others, is that there's really nobody you can go to. There's nobody that enforces HOA legislation.
Thank you.
Nobody. Nothing.
That's where I wanted to go with this.
Right, right. We found that out, and everybody will call the Attorney General, the Consumer Affairs, and nobody will take your complaint. They if they do, we had a member that used to go to Raleigh. We went to the Attorney General's office every month. We picked up a box of complaints at the Attorney General. They have them at the front desk, and they gave them to us.
Oh, really?
That's where your complaint goes. You pick up a couple hundred. That's why we contacted a lot of people. We got their emails, but nobody will listen to it. No, not at all.
So
there's no enforcement.
So you established an organization called Here for North Carolina.
Correct.
Which is Homeowners for Education, Advocacy, and Rights.
Correct.
And so you're doing the education because
Correct.
The state's not doing that.
Correct.
You're doing the advocacy.
Yeah.
And rights?
Rights are in a way of information, I guess. People have to, they don't know what their rights are, and until they know it, they don't even know how to handle it.
What happens, because you said at the beginning that HOAs are a true democracy.
Yes.
I tend to disagree with that, and the reason I disagree with that is I've been doing this for more years than I care to mention. But
right.
One of the issues that you have with a democracy, you have people who are involved.
Correct.
You have people who are listened to.
Correct.
That doesn't happen in corporate America or in a corporation, a residential corporation. It
right.
is a corporation. It is a corporation.
You've got several things mixed. And that's the whole point. There are actually two laws in North Carolina. One is 55A and the other one is 47F. 47F says supersedes 55A, which is corporate law. It's just a general nonprofit law. And that's where everybody gets mixed up. Because, at least in this state, the 47F, which is the Planned Community Act, supersedes that. And it says also, if there's a question, you can either go refer to 55A, but it also says that you should use Robert's Rule of Order, which everybody thinks is just parliamentarian, but actually it's how the whole thing works as an association, because that's what you created in an association.
Well, the association is a corporation.
It's a corporation. Some are. You don't have to be a corporation.
In essence, they are. Robert's Rule, basically, in Robert's Rules, what it boils down to is that everybody has to be heard. That certainly
Correct.
Does not happen in an HOA.
Nope,
and
absolutely.
And the majority leads, and that doesn't happen in an HOA either.
Right, right.
Because you have the board members. There's a board of directors.
Right.
And
executive directors in our state.
Okay. Most states call them board of directors. An executive director in where I am from is someone who's hired to manage the place. So that's the executive director. But the directors are actually elected or supposed to have been elected by the members, right?
Correct.
But they tend to make all the decisions, whether they have the right to do so or not. They
Correct.
Tend to not listen to the members.
Correct.
They think they know it all.
They think so, yeah.
So we have a problem, I think, with the way it's being handled.
Right. Right. Because it's not being handled correctly. It's not being handled correctly by the law. And the people don't know what their rights are, and they don't know they don't know where to go. But
That's
actually,
right.
actually, we have some T-shirts made now. The people have the power, and they don't know they have the power. You can amend your declaration. You can amend your bylaws. You can do anything with a majority in a duly called meeting. So they don't know that. But they're told differently by attorneys. And attorneys frequently, most of the time, are quoting 55A in this state, which is corporate nonprofit law, which sets up the board of directors. And so they're really telling people what to do. And really, it should be the other way around.
Sometimes the attorneys represent so many associations that they don't know what the governing documents say. I have seen attorneys come up with, oh, well, you know, well, it should say this. They don't know what the governing documents say.
No, but they know what to charge.
Oh, yeah. Those charges keep coming, don't they?
I mean, there are some good attorneys. There aren't many that know this stuff. I have a couple that we use. And the attorney I used here not too long ago, when I walked into her office, she had 47F right on her desk open. I've never seen that. The attorneys don't even know what it is. And it's like some obscure law. They don't even know what to practice because there's no money in it.
Oh, well, they seem to be doing all right, Ollie.
Well, yeah, some of them are doing all right.
They're doing all right. They're making a lot of money. Oh, okay, the attorney that you're talking about is not an HOA attorney.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, she is an HOA attorney.
Yeah, she's really hard to find. Hard to find because they tend to go to 47F, which gives the power, and then it's a whole thing is what I call a triangle. What happens is that the managing agents, they sell their services. This is the CAI, basically. They're really the culprits of this whole thing, and they woo the board of directors because they don't know anything generally. So they go to these people and they say, yeah, you need this and you need that. And then they go to the attorneys, which are their attorneys, and they just sort of take over the whole thing. And then the people just say yes and no. And then they, on top of that, then they form proxies so they can get through anything they want. And, you know, it's just it's a triangle, I call it.
You're listening to On the Commons with Shu Bartholomew, and today we are talking to Ollie Madsen, who founded an organization in North Carolina called Here for North Carolina, and it's Homeowners for Education, Advocacy, and Rights for North Carolina. Ollie, thank you again for being here.
Okay,
and,
great.
So you're out there, you're setting up these meetings, and what do you do to get people to come? Do you call them? You say you picked up all these complaint forms and you contacted them through email. Do you advertise? Do you?
No, we have, it's all word of mouth, and what's happened is that it's such a topic, as you know, that's why you're doing this, and people are just out there looking. So word of mouth is one thing. The newspapers have picked up some stories, and they've been very kind to us, I have to say. The local paper and the Wilmington paper and the Raleigh paper, we've been quoted and had stories on us because we're for solutions instead of, we know that people have been murdered, the money's being stolen. We know all the horror stories. I mean, we've heard them all. There are some of them are like, some of them are worse, some of them are better. But basically the papers pick them up, and then they call us for quotes or opinions. And so just through, just little articles, word of mouth, people are, the word's going out.
So you've been doing this for, 18 months?
Yep.
So you go from one town to the other, and what, rent a place? How does that work?
Actually, been really good. We're a nonprofit, so we're always trying to find the most economical way, which is for nothing. And so we found libraries, we found a restaurant, we found just different locations that we can get for no money. Library's been really good. And then we switch the times around because some people are working, can't make it. Some people don't work, they can't. I have the opposite problem, and it's amazing. And people, it's amazing what's going out there, and it's amazing what they don't know.
So how many people do you normally get at these meetings?
We get 30 to 35 people around that. It doesn't vary much, and most of them are new. A few people come back, but most of them are new.
It's a constantly changing, changing thing. Do you hear from people who came, say, to the first ones? Do you have any idea how much you've helped or affected change or anything along those lines? Sometimes it's hard because, you know, I do the show every week and we're going out, but you don't know if you've made any changes or any differences. So it's kind of nice to know somebody says, you know, I listened to your show and this is what I did and this is what happened.
Isn't that great?
It's great. It absolutely is wonderful when you get that. But do you hear from people how is it playing out in North Carolina?
Yeah, we do hear from people. We started handing out a survey to see, you know, to rate us.
Okay.
And they've been pretty good. We just did it recently because we weren't sure we were doing the right thing, but we got a really big score. We have some phone calls. We see some repeat people that said, you know, I haven't learned this enough. You know, I really don't understand it. So you get that personal touch, and then, you know, I get a phone call now and then, they're going like, you know, you changed everything around. I'm going like, well, you did it, hopefully. Those are little rewards there. Then you go to legislatures, and then some of them are going, you know, I got some really good support. Really got some good people. So those are the small rewards.
Have you ever considered or have you ever had a legislator come to one of your meetings and advertise it as such, saying that, you know, state senator or state delegate or whatever you happen to call them will be at the meeting? And does that make a huge difference?
We're going to try that.
You haven't done that yet.
We haven't done it yet, and I know our local one, Frank Eiler, will probably come. He's a sponsor of the bill. But there's others, and we'd like to get others involved. And we're going to try it. But the main thing is, what happens, all the questions we found out are so basic that really the basic education is really more important, because they ask all kinds of wild, crazy questions because they want to know, but they don't really know how the whole thing works.
Give us some examples of the questions that you tend to get.
Well, first of all, they've never read their declaration. They don't even know what it is. The other question is, the typical question is, we had one member that went to jail overnight for this one, and there's lots of people asked, they want to see the financials. And they can't, well, they can't see them. It's, privy to only the board members, you know, on and on and on and on. And the law says that at a convenient time and place, you're entitled to see the financials. Well, most of the associations won't turn them over. That's the most typical question.
Okay. You had someone, one of your members?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One of your members wanted to see the financial information, and how did they end up in jail because they wanted to see the financial information? I mean, I am understanding you correctly, right?
Yeah, that's right. They just simply asked for it, and then they asked for it again, and you don't get an answer. You ask for it again, and you ask for it again, and they consider that harassment, and they put her in jail for harassment, and they met with the attorneys and the judge, and she was released, and they dropped the charges, and because there wasn't any case, which, you know, if you do anything by law, you got to analyze the case, whether it's worth it or not. But they didn't have it. But, again, it hasn't progressed. And then, you know, they make up different rules where you can come on Wednesdays at, 11 o'clock at night and things like that. So, you know, it's a lot of games. Quite frankly, I understand it. I don't see what people are afraid the truth is.
Because we see all of the embezzlement that's going on.
All right,
I want to stay on this for a minute.
Okay.
So the association couldn't put her in jail. The police had to do it, right?
Right.
What on earth did they tell the police?
Harassment. They just charged him with harassment.
Did the police not investigate to find out what the harassment entailed?
I suppose, I mean, I wasn't there, but I know the story, and there apparently it was enough to lock her up. There was no violence, there was nothing. It was just a lady who works in an office. So it's just...
And she wanted to see the financial
information. Correct.
Did she ever get the financial information, do you know?
She got to look at them, yeah.
And?
She didn't make copies. And you know, everything was pretty much okay, but, you know, a lot of people had never paid. You know, it's what you find out is the people that are favorites, you know, they sort of get overlooked. They don't have to pay or they don't pay a penalty. And then, you know, other people are harassed because they haven't paid or they did pay. It's always like that. And, it's just, you know, the board members are scared to release their financials, mainly because they're probably not very good.
You know,
that's like corporations. Corporations have to make a statement every quarter, you know, and they're public companies, but these aren't public companies.
My friend, and I've said this on the show before, and I'll say it again, but I have a friend who lives in Reston, which is one of the original big places.
I lived there.
You lived in Reston?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, he looked at some of the governing documents, and it said the purpose of this association is to protect property values. And he goes, okay, mm-hmm. I have some investments. The law says that when you have an investment, the investment company has got to send you a report periodically letting you know how your investments are doing.
Correct.
The governing documents start right off by saying the purpose of this association is to protect property values. It's an investment. So he wrote to the association and he said, could you please tell me what you have done to protect and enhance my property values? And when they got this letter, they just went absolutely nuts. They had no idea how to answer it.
Right. Well, because they don't know, and they don't even know what they're supposed to know. So nothing surprises me.
Well, the attorneys didn't know either. I mean, they called the attorney, oh, we got this request. What do we do with it? And,
right.
But we don't know.
But still, you know, I'm going to get back to democracy because, you know, it's really every member's responsibility to make the place nice and enhance values, you know, and that's a very broad subject. But if a thing is maintained and things are done, you know, openly and everything is correct and you want to buy a property there and everything's in order, you enhance values. You don't enhance values by hiding something. You don't enhance value by putting up another gate. You know, this is a very broad thing. Actually, to run a good association should really be a boring job, and it should be a part-time job.
Well, do we need associations? I mean, if you try to enhance things, or you try to make sure, you know, you're talking about responsibility of the homeowners to make sure that everything's going well. It's not just the association. But what happens if they don't like you? They seem to have the power to put you in jail like they did to your
right.
friend. But they also have the power, in Virginia at least, to fine you. They don't have to tell you you're being fined. Then they can foreclose non-judicially to collect that fine.
Yep.
How in the world does a democracy work like that when you've got a handful of people with that kind of power? And you've got the cooperation of the real government instead of the oversight from the real government. You've got the cooperation.
Well, you know, every 2 years or 4 years, all these politicians, they come around once you vote. You know, and the same thing happens in an HOA. They come every year, every 3 years, however you set up, and they want your vote. Well, you can vote. You can vote them out. You can vote somebody else. You know, that's the real power that you have. That's what democracy is your vote counts.
Okay. Do you know, we have a 9-member board. We did not have any options. And not all of the slots were filled with candidates. So the argument of voting them out is not... it sounds pretty,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a realistic response. It's not a realistic solution. First of all, you have to have people who are willing.
It is the correct legal solution.
It's the correct legal solution, but how often is the legal solution a valid solution? I mean, you know, the legal solution is you have a right to look at the governing, the financials, and we'll help throw you in jail if you start asking questions.
That's true, but, you know, it depends who you are and how you do it. I mean, I demanded the financials and I got them. And then there's financials that they give you, and then there's...
Financials that they don't give you.
Exactly.
But the thing is, why should you get them and why shouldn't your neighbor get them?
Because I don't take no for an answer. That's the reason.
Well, apparently this person didn't take no for an answer either and ended up cooling her heels and... In jail overnight.
Right.
So there is a serious problem that's not going to be handled and fixed quite so simply. I mean, that's the CAI response is, well, you don't like them, vote the bums out. I mean, that's the CAI response. But we have some serious problems that everybody seems to want to gloss over.
Yeah, well, the CIA, you know, if you want to be totally honest, what the CIA says and what the CIA does are 100% different.
Oh, yeah. They're diametrically opposed.
They have infiltrated even the real estate commission here, even the realtors. They call it professional management. And that's their you know, song and dance. But it's just not so.
No, I understand, and I realize that. But anyway, we're talking to Ole Madsen, and you're on the Commons, and we're coming to you from Radio Fairfax, not too far from Reston, where we were talking, but that we were talking about, but not in Reston. So one of the big things is you say people don't know what they're doing,
right?
And they don't understand.
Right.
Do you get homeowners or do you get board members? Do you ever get board members who say, I was elected to the board and I don't know what I'm doing?
No, we had some here just last week, and they were on the board. They're very proud of it. And I didn't get a handshake when they left because they didn't like what they heard. And, you know, we were just doing the same thing we always do. We teach the law. We tell them what it is. We tell them they make the rules. They're the members. And, they don't like that because they need to have the power. This is something, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but there's something in people that want to be in charge, and especially people that have never been in charge of anything. That's where I find most of them are. I mean, I've run companies, so I don't really care about stuff like that. I mean, it's just running a business, and that's what it is.
It is. Unfortunately, it is business. But do we need to live in a business?
No. You know, this is a. I mean, this is a real big picture thing. Just think, like we're not rural, but we're not. There's lots of land here. Like Reston used to be rural. I remember before it was all fixed up and everything else. And so what happens is a developer, that was Gulf, if I'm not mistaken, and here was somebody else, and they do this big planned community, and they have lots of money to fund it and so forth, and it's a real estate deal. And so what happens is the county goes, oh, man, this is great, because they're going to put in all the roads, they're going to build the lakes, they're going to put up the signs, they're going to do all this stuff, and they're going to take care of the grass, and everything is being done, and all we have to do is collect taxes. It's a great business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the business starts. And so it becomes a little government just because of the size or the way it's set up, and then the government steps out. They don't want any part of the complaints or trouble or repairs or, you know, I got a hole in the road, what are you going to do, or any of this stuff. So it's a great business. And so,
In fact, Fairfax County mandates associations that Mr. Developer, if you're going to build anything, you had better make sure that it is in an association, because we want our tax money
and we don't want to have to do anything for it. So over 90% of all housing in Fairfax is in an association. And that's not unusual. That seems to be repeating itself across the country.
Yeah, we're North Carolina. 53% of the population lives in an HOA. We have 16,000 of them.
Okay, I don't know what it is in Virginia, but I know in Fairfax County, it's extremely high.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what they're doing is they're taking down anything, older homes that maybe had a little bit of land.
Yeah.
And they're replacing it with high-rises because, you know what, that little old house that might be worth $300,000-$400,000 sitting on a quarter of an acre, or half an acre, whatever, is now replaced with multi-hundred, you know, with tons and tons of high-rises and...
Yeah.
And
it's incredible.
And
Tyson's Corner, yeah.
Oh, Tyson's Corner is just...
It's a monster.
Yeah, Tyson's Corner is the new town center.
Yeah.
There's not parking lots, anything that was a parking lot's been destroyed, and they're putting in huge towers.
Yep, yep. But I remember it was a grass field.
I wasn't here then, but I heard about it.
It was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
A crossroads.
The grass field with one shack on it.
Yeah, a crossroads.
Yep.
But now, so, I mean, they've taken literally a parking lot. They've built two towers in it. One of them is an office building. One of them is a residential tower. Those buildings, those condominiums, I heard, start at $1 million. So you imagine how many of those in the tax rate that the county's going to be collecting and not doing a damn thing for it.
Right, and then the CIA wants to manage them, so that's more because they're out of Falls Church, Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. And that's where, and then they do basically their national lobbying. And we have local lobbyists here in Raleigh.
Oh, we have local and national here.
Good luck.
We got all of them here.
Oh man, I mean they're so bad. They're just so despicable. It's sad.
Well, they've. What they've done is they've made a mockery, and I tell our legislators this, between you and CAI, you have made a mockery of hearth and home.
Yep, they have. They've done it, and then the attorneys are right there in their coattail, and basically they're professing the corporate law versus the common law, or the, which is the HOA laws, which is what we call a Planning Community Act. And there's one that actually was, it was a speech by Frank Leisner. It's called the Uniform Code. My law is not that good, but he really, I don't know if he invented it, but he tried to uniform this all over the United States, and it does exist in one form or another in every state.
Well, it exists. Several states have adopted it, and a lot of people will try to push it. In fact, right here, I heard from some homeowners who said they met with their legislator and were complaining about HOAs, and the legislator said, oh, why don't you look into, there's a uniform code, and why don't you see if you can't get that passed in Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
And they called me and said, can you help with this? And I said, yeah, stay away from it. And this legislator should know exactly what the uniform code is, because he was the chairman of the board of Fairfax County Supervisors.
Mm.
And Fairfax County actually has a liaison, paid with by our tax dollars, someone who's a liaison to CAI. And who hosts... and who hosts...
You're the capital. You have all the politicians.
It's just insane. It's absolutely insane. And so you're looking for solutions. Mine comes with, you know, my solution is pull the plug on them.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need them. I mean, you don't need an attorney to do it. You don't need anything, really. You can run, it's just an association. You can run a business and do it.
You don't need an association.
We don't need an association. We don't need attorneys. We don't need the managers.
I mean,
all you do is hire a guy to mow the grass. It's not that complicated.
Have the grass belong to you, individuals.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah, but people don't know that. They don't know that it's theirs.
Well, you're in the education educate them and say,
well, what happens is when you join the HOA, you automatically are signing a contract. And people don't realize it because, of course, sometimes people don't get all the information, they don't get their papers, they don't get a lot of stuff. But basically, you sign a contract, and you are part owner of the association. And that's without being a corporation. This is being
legally, and I had an attorney on, and we talked about it, and we talked about taking control of, and I don't know if you heard it, with Bill Davis, taking control of the terminology.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like mandatory. He likes the word involuntary.
Mm-hmm.
Membership corporation instead of HOA. It doesn't quite trip off the tongue, but, we'll get there one day. But
that's why I say it's executive directors, if not board of directors.
Well,
it's the correct term in North Carolina.
In North Carolina. An executive director tends to mean someone who's hired and is paid to run the thing.
And that's right.
Board members are not paid. They're not hired.
Right. Well, executive director does not be paid. It's only if they're a corporation and you have a contract to do it. So, the law, 47F states executive director.
One of the problems, Ollie, is that every state, every jurisdiction, every development seems to have its own language. There's nothing that's standardized.
Correct.
Some places call them CIDs, common interest developments. Some call them CICs, common interest communities. Some people call, and the thing is that we're always talking apples and oranges.
Right. Well, lawyers call themselves attorneys. Attorneys call themselves lawyers. In Europe, a lawyer is called an advocate. And an advocate means that you champion for the person that you work for.
I found out what the difference, because in England it's a barrister, but I found out what the difference between an attorney and a lawyer is. I said, is there a difference? And Frank, my friend who is an attorney, said, yes, an attorney has a law degree. A lawyer is someone who knows a certain part of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a little bit of a difference, a technical difference. Again, we don't seem to have a...
Because the road in Fairfax is called Lawyer's Road.
Oh, yeah. And that goes through...
I wonder who lived
there. Yeah. That goes through Reston.
Yeah, and it goes right to Fairfax, right to the courthouse.
Yep.
I've been on it many times. And,
Lawyer's Road.
So I actually know a lawyer who lives on Lawyer's Road. But anyhow, the thing is education, because these people just don't know, and they every time they have to go to a lawyer to figure out everything, and then the lawyer when they write these papers up, they're boilerplate. They know this stuff. It's all the same stuff. They all copy each other. There's nothing really strong coming out of these people, and that's a real problem, that we need these people.
Yeah, it is a problem. So tell me, Ollie, you've been doing these, and you do these meetings once a month, and you move them around. Do you see yourself expanding into other areas and doing other things, or are you just going to continue doing what you're doing?
We're doing it because it works, and people accept it, and they like it, and I just see them like, it's like I invented the Bible. It's ridiculous. They don't know this stuff, and they really want to know, and they come back and they want to know more. And we can only answer so much, because that's a presentation. Then you have to go to the attorney. The one thing we want to do, and it's a plan, is that we're going to hire an attorney to be not on call, but basically be available. But we want to screen the attorneys, which would be very, very hard to do because they're kind of slippery. And so we could say, this is a legal question, can you recommend an attorney? Well, now I say, I can't recommend an attorney. Now I can say, maybe I recommend one attorney. But I want to be able to say, I can, if you're in Raleigh, we recommend this attorney. This person will do a good job for you. And he'll also have reasonable rates. That's what we'd like to do. There's two things that in North Carolina. One thing is that if you're a realtor, we pay, I pay $100 a year, and there's an attorney I can call if I have a problem with some kind of legal problem that has to be interpreted. Also, the Real Estate Commission, which is what our law 871 says, that we want to turn them, we want to turn these associations and courses that are going to be made. They also have an attorney I can call any business day and get an attorney on the phone and say, look, I have a problem with this. Can you help me? What does it mean? And he or she will give me some guidance. And I think that's what we'd like to do. It's a very big undertaking. One thing, it's expensive, but it could actually fund itself. The main thing is to find the right people that are honest.
Wait a minute. So you're talking about having a slush fund where people just pay so much. I like that idea.
Yeah, and it works. We've seen that, you know, realtors do it, and they're not exactly poor. And the Real Estate Commission does it. Now they're funded through fees for licenses and so forth. And they do a good job. Both of them do a good job.
So you think the homeowners, see, people go in and they buy a house. It's an emotional purchase.
Correct.
They don't buy with the idea that they're going to have problems and they're going to need an attorney.
Right.
So at what point, I mean, you know, you're a realtor. You're going to sell them a house and say, oh, by the way, you may need to sign up for this because there's an HOA here and you might need an attorney one day?
We have even more strict here. You've got disclosures now. Different states have different, you know, forms. And these are the realtors and then the Real Estate Commission because they're set up differently in different states. But you have disclosures that, you know, you have to turn over the financials. You have to give them bylaws. I mean, these things, the attorney should give them in closing, but it's better they get it, you know, when they're actually signing a contract, so they can see these things. So that's what we're required to do here. And there's some places I can't sell property because I just know too much.
You'd have to, you know, I was a realtor as well, and you can't not hold, you know, not show people.
Right, but places. You have to give people.
The thing is, you know, all states have got some form of disclosure, but we're not telling them the real thing.
Right.
We're not disclosing what they're really buying. We're giving them the fluff.
Right.
You know, here's the financials, here are the rules, and the rules protect your property value, and it's so that your neighbor doesn't do this. And so everybody, we're all protecting you. And they go, okay. Nobody says, look, you know, if the board decides they don't like you, they can fine you and take your house away.
Right.
And they don't have to go to court to do that.
Right. And that's a big mistake. They passed a law here, too, where you can do basically don't have to go to the legal process. You just turn
it's non-judicial.
Board.
Yeah, non-judicial.
Yeah.
But we don't tell people that.
Right.
We don't tell people that.
Right.
And when I asked the CAI, member of CAI, he said, nobody would buy into these things. Duh.
Right. Right.
You know, if we're not, we can't buy into
these
things.
That's true. If you told them the truth, they wouldn't buy it.
So these disclosures are nothing. They're just Band-Aid fixes. They're not.
Well, at least it gives them the documents because, you know, wasn't many years ago they didn't even know what they were. And so that's a start. The attorneys don't turn it over at closing. They're supposed to have all these documents. And it's a real problem. And you know, I guess with my clients, because I have a little bit of background in it, I mean, I do check them out. And there's some good ones around. Not many, but there are.
Yeah, but you're one election away from having everything turn around.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good now. It won't be tomorrow.
Yeah, I've invested in two different properties. I'm president of two associations, and we actually rewrote the bylaws. And they're pretty strict. They're very, very open. And we're going to incorporate that in another one, which is in trouble because they were in bankruptcy. And so, and actually, we've got some support from the bank. So they're not all bad people. They're just it's really the people that it's really the CAI and the attorneys that work for them. Those are really the bad people.
Ollie, we're out of time.
I'm speaking as president now, so if you want to sue me, please sue here. That's the reason we have here, because we're the same thing as you form a corporation.
Okay. Well, Ollie, thank you so much for coming.
Good
luck with educating people.
All right.
People need to understand that. They need to understand what really goes on, not just hear your documents, but here's the power and here's what you're going to get stuck with.
All right. You're doing a great job. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Ollie. And thanks to all of you for joining us. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the